For companies especially that say, we want to hire more women, how important is the flexibility piece for you as a working woman with also two young children?
Actually gives that courage to women in tech, especially for the young moms as well. When my elder one was born, he is now 9. When he was born, I didn't have that flexibility. And me being so tech focused, it was hard for me to just stay away from work. But I didn't have that flexibility that time. So I had to wait. And that wait was actually killing me. I was going mad at home. But with my younger one, when he was born, the flexibility was there. So within 6 months, I managed to get back at work. I got my satisfaction when I was working while my little one was in my care. It's a by default that if you have a little one, you have to look after that kid. But at the same time, why you have to hamper your career? Having that flexibility actually gives women that while you are parenting, while you're looking after, while you're nurturing, you can actually continue working and get into work if you want to.
Hey, it's Georgie here. I'm so honored that you have decided to tune in to this week's episode. So thank you so much. Before this episode starts, I just wanted to quickly say that we do get quite technical in this episode today. I'm interviewing Neha, who is a DevOps manager. And the reason I'm doing this episode today is because I believe we can't be what we can't see. And I really want to showcase what a career in technology can look like. And Neha is somebody that is at the top of her game. She has worked her way up into an incredible leadership role. And she's doing some amazing things at her current company, Class. So please give this a listen today. Please don't let the language throw you off. Just listen to what she's saying. She makes some incredible points. And if you are a leader, somebody managing a team right now, or just somebody that's curious about what the technology industry looks like, this is a fantastic episode. So I really hope you enjoy, and I can't wait to hear your feedback. Neha, thank you so much for joining me today on the Career Confidence Podcast. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. We were talking a few weeks ago now, and we were having such a fantastic conversation all around your role as a DevOps manager, your career. And I said, stop right there. Let's get this on a podcast, because I think it will be so inspiring for people who listen to this every single week. So before we get into the real meat of the podcast today, could you just give a little bit of an introduction to who you are, your background, your career journey, just so the audience can sort of see where you come from? So over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Georgie. Thank you for having me today on the podcast. So I'm Neha Bura. I'm the DevOps manager at Class Limited. I work as a DevOps manager mostly on AWS, GCP, some footprints on GCP, but mostly on AWS. I started my career as a software engineer almost 15 years ago now. So started as a software engineer, worked on C++, Linux. I think for good 3 to 4 years in India. And then we moved to Australia in 2013. So when I moved to Australia, I twisted my career a little bit, and I moved from development into testing. So, and testing was slightly different to, not slightly, but a huge difference. It took me a while to get a hang of how you actually test the software. I was always into, you know, the solution mode, how you actually fix a problem. So, yeah, I started working here in Australia 2013 as a software tester then, but still, since I had the germs of solving the problems, so I moved quickly into automation. Started creating the test automation frameworks, how we can, you know, speed up the testings. And from that automation, I started looking into how we can, you know, further reduce the time, especially the build times. And that's where I picked up the continuous integration, continuous deployment, which is a DevOps practice. Then from there, I started learning about the configuration management, picked up Puppet. So that was sort of, that's how I went into from different career pathways, from software developer to tester, then automation engineer, then DevOps. And that's where I started looking into the cloud, that how things are done in cloud at Aristocrat. Everything was on-prem. And then I got this exciting opportunity at KLAS where I joined the great team. It was a small team in the beginning, but now we grew quite a good pace. In my team, I have a good bunch of mixed bag of people where I have few senior engineers in my team, some junior engineers, and I think it's great to have that sort of combination. I really like to have more and more females because that brings in that feminine touch within the team. So I have a really nice female in my team, and I want to, again, if going forward, if there is any opportunity, I would like to give the equal choice to any of the female. But it's hard to find. It's actually really hard to find a female, especially in the DevOps space. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, look, the first thing that comes to my mind when you were speaking there, as I speak to a lot of females, and there's a real curiosity in technology. But when you were speaking there, you mentioned lots of things like C++, Linux, Puppet, automation testing. And I know that people who aren't in the tech industry are going, what's she talking about? what do you mean Puppet? Are we talking about the theater? So it's just really interesting to sort of like hear you speak so confidently about, you know, technologies. But let's just sort of strip it all back, because ultimately what you also said in that was that you were really focused on problem solving. And this is ultimately when I sort of sit with people who have got no technical knowledge. How I sort of describe software development is you are literally just solving problems. Right. So for those people listening to this, and there will be a mixture of people who are in the technology industry right now, but there's also going to be a mix of people who aren't in the technology industry right now. And I think one of the barriers to entry, especially for women, is the language, the technology language. I think, oh, I would never be able to pick that up. I'd never be able to learn that. What was your journey like sort of starting as a software engineer? Like, how easy did you pick it up, and what sort of transferable skills would you say are really good for starting out in tech?
Yeah, for me, it was just a pathway which was naturally formed. And I was always a very keen student, keen learning, keen in investigating things. So back in school, I was very good at maths and science. So my dad put me into, you know, in India, we call it as a non-medical domain, where you have to learn maths as well as science. So and I really enjoyed that, and I scored quite good. And soon I gave some competitive exams to get into an engineering college. So scored good marks again. I'm a bit geeky, to be honest. I'm really a bookworm. I love reading a lot. So So it was just me, but that's okay. Cracked the exam, get into the engineering college. And that's where, you know, when I went into the engineering college, the concept which I learned about computer science was really, really good. You can actually go into as much depth as possible. I mean, back then it was just book. Internet was not available as much as it is now. So it was everything in book. So I was continuously reading. My favorite subjects were object-oriented programming and data structure. And when I got those subjects, I literally scored at the top position. So in my university, there were around 73 colleges at that time, and I scored number one position. And I was like, wow. I was surprised myself. So, and that's where I went into further deep into concept, understanding how the networkings are done, what are the different object-oriented principles. So it's just about, you know, me being really, really keen. So while in college, since I got the top position, I also got, when I was in in third year of my college, I also got placed into a company called Wipro. Straight after college, I joined the company. In the company, they had a really good program. So especially for the newcomers like us who are just starting their career into a company where you just have the concept, but you never implemented anything, right? So you don't know how to even create a software. So you would have done some projects, small minor projects, but that's not the actual thing. So that's where I learned more about the programming, how you write the code in C++, what Unix, what Windows operating systems looks like, how the software code performs differently in different operating system, which one to choose and those things. And that's where I went into software engineering domain. I was always extremely, extremely keen in, as I mentioned, troubleshooting activities, how to resolve the problem. I have a mindset that, if there is a problem, it just tucks into my mind. So even if I sleep, that problem keeps running. And I wake up in the middle of the night, went on my computer, I fix the issue, and then I go back. I mean, there is literally recently it happened that my parents were here and we stuck into an issue, right? The issue my team was trying to resolve during the day. And next day there was a deployment, which has to happen, but the deployments were blocked due to that issue. But it's being a platforms DevOps manager, it's our responsibility that the deployment should go as per plan. I know I'm talking further technical, but let me know if I have to stop or if you have any questions. Yeah. So my parents were here. I have two kids. I have two little boys. So I got the handover from my team that, okay, this is an issue, but not sure how and when, how it can be resolved. So, and it was just went in my head, but there's a next stage, which is deployment. So I woke up at around 1 a.m. at night. I had the solution in my head, in my dreams. So it just keeps running in my head. I woke up at 1. I went on my laptop. My little one also started, just 3-year-old. So he woke up as well, started crying. And my mom was like, what's going on in the middle of the night? She was holding him. And I was like, no, you just need to hold him for a couple of hours. I'm almost there. So 1 to 4, I worked and I resolved the issue and went back to sleep with my little one. So it's just the mindset. I have a very curious mind. I really enjoy solving the issue and, getting the work done. Be there for the team. Stay technical as much as you can. Even the role is now a manager's role. It's hard to stay technical, but I try and balance it out, like at least 40%, give me some technical work. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that obviously that problem solving, that curious mindset in your sort of, I guess, experience has been what has helped you advance in your career. And I think that from speaking to people in the industry, it is that's what kind of separates people, is like just your ability to look at things and go, okay, how can I solve this? How can I resolve this? What do I need to do? But I love what you just said then as well about, wanting to still be hands-on. So still having like that sort of experience within the tech, but also managing the team. So just sort of going into that whole sort of like leadership piece, because this is what I would love to see more women be doing in tech as well, because you do sort of like look into the stats and, we're seeing sort of a little bit more of a rise in females coming through, but in the C-suite, in a leadership role, it drops off even more. So what's your experience been like working your way up as a female? Have you come across any challenges in your career, and how have you personally overcome them?
Yes, especially being a woman, it's just automatic responsibility which falls on your shoulders and you have to work it out. But I think the main thing is like finding your way out. The good quality about women I see is like there is more of a resiliency. There is more of a, ways of context switching. I think these are some natural qualities a woman would have, but at least I do have. And you have to balance it out. So even as I said, that I have two little boys, and I have the full responsibility as a mother towards them. I want them, and they are excellent. They are excellent. Like they have head like me. They also extremely, extremely talented. They want to learn. And so I have to provide them, the sort of environment where they also can learn and opportunities where they can, my elder one, he gets bored at school. So I have to give him some extra where he can, spend some more time problem solving. His maths is excellent as well. So I have to give him those challenges, and at the same time for myself, because I can't sit idle. It's hard for me to just, sit. And if I have to take off, I just feel like, what do I need to do? I mean, what do I do with myself? So I have that sort of thing that my mind is constantly running. So I think for the women out there as well, I would say that the responsibilities are there, but you just need to find yourself out, the way out, and think of the thing that you want to achieve in your career. So for me, as I said, that I want to stay technical, And being technical, it's just like some natural quality that you would acquire as an experience, right? So as you grow in your career, you will have the experience and naturally you will become a leader, right? You can't be a leader from the day you join. You can't. You have to form some sort of career pathway for yourself. So for example, 5 years down the line, if I'm in a DevOps manager position, I want to be, you know, the head of platforms or probably a general manager of a company. So you have to form a career pathway. And then you set a small stepping stones that how I can achieve my career goal. And then you work towards that. So for example, if I'm struggling with probably some project management skills, so you have to find some sort of course material. What I do over the weekends are I've subscribed myself with some of the blogs. So I keep learning, keep reading. So if I'm taking my son for swimming, he would swim probably, and it's a 5 minutes read for me, right? Or 10 minutes read for me while he's doing his chores. So I think having that context switching in your mind, how you transition from one activity to other, also keeping in your mind that, okay, what I want to achieve in my career, right? And then working towards it, it's extremely important. So having a mind clear, what do you want to do, right? What do you want to do next? And if you want to do certain thing, how you're going to achieve it. So and constantly working. Don't just sit back. As I said, that as a woman, you will have a number of responsibilities, but you will still find your way out. You can't be 100% at everything, but at least you can try and be 50%.
I think that's really solid advice. But I think ultimately as well, like as women, we do put so much pressure on ourselves as well to be everything for everybody. So, you know, I'd love to know, there are a lot of women that listen to this podcast who really want a fantastic career, but also really want to be present with their children. So how do you personally balance both? Do you find yourself sometimes thinking about work when you're the kids and vice versa? And when you come across those situations, how do you sort of go about navigating that? Because we all have experienced that. And I think mum guilt, I'm not a mum personally, but I've experienced it in all of my best friends are mums, and they experience so much mum guilt all the time because they're all still quite career driven. So how have you gone about balancing that?
Yeah, to be honest, sometimes it gets really overwhelming when you really wanted to do something. And as I gave the example before, where I woke up at night and I just wanted to resolve the issue, you need to find your way out. So especially over this weekend as well, we have our PI planning, which is coming next week. I need to plan all the projects, and there is a huge demand that you need to flag the dependency on the team. You need to have the right documentation in place. But with two kids, how much you could do? And being DevOps manager, the whole day, my day just goes back to back in meetings. So when I can do the actual work, right? So what I do is I do my work sometimes. My little one, he literally sleeps on my lap while I'm working. So I have had some days where, you know, he's sleeping in my one arm, in my left arm for 3 hours, and I'm just working with my right arm in the freezing cold. It's frozen, but it just, I think that's where your mind goes, right? So my kid is sleeping, he's sleeping with me. And at the same time, I just constantly keep working for 3 hours. And when I try and get up, because it was so cold, just everything starts cracking. I can hear my bones cracking, but this is what I enjoy. At the end of the day, I managed to resolve the issue. My kid is okay. He's still here. And again, if you think that you can be perfect, you can be 100%, you can't. You can't be. And so I think another thing to think about is stop putting unnecessary pressure on yourself. Try and also take some time out. Try and do some enjoyment with your kids. Give them the time that they want. So probably go and have fun. If they're playing cricket, spend some time playing cricket with them. If they're cycling, go for cycling. Whatever they do, I try and, you know, mix up with them. So they can also see that mom is also involved. She's here. She's just not working all the time. So I try and make them, you know, that, okay, mama is here. And but if I'm at work, I try and balance it out again, giving them enough food. That's the most important thing. Give them food, put them, you know, give them the toys, or they are into Legos. So give them the Legos, the food, and then I go back and try and do my workout. So yeah, there's so many ways you can handle things, but yeah, but some days can be overwhelming where you have the pressure that you have to deliver at work and at the same time you have a sick child at home. So which one to take? And but sometimes just, yeah, as a mom, as I mentioned, that you always have that strength that you are there. And for a woman, I think this is a God gift that for somehow you still be able to achieve what you want to. And as I mentioned, it can't be 100%, but at least try and be 50%. Keep pushing. Don't just, if you go in that sort of mindset, oh, I can't do, that's where the things would start falling apart. So even if you are getting overwhelmed, you need to find ways where you can probably watch some videos where you can get some strength, how you can cope up with some of the stress management. So I try and if I'm feeling really low, I try and watch some motivational videos just to come back or do some meditation, do some yoga, just to come out of that zone. And and always think that this thing is, it's not a long term. So it's going to end. It's just a phase, probably an hour or 2 hour or a few days, but it's going to end. You work, but you need to continuously keep moving forward. Yeah.
That's such solid advice. I think it's really easy to get yourself in a negative state of mind and feel in a constant state of overwhelm. But I think like the one thing that in my own career journey that I've got really good at is identifying when I'm starting to feel overwhelmed by, you know, taking on too much responsibility at work or trying to do too much or trying to be everything for everybody. And actually I go, oh, actually, I just need a little bit more time today for me just to carve out 30 minutes, like you say, just to meditate or go for a run or do something that I know is going to reset me and re-energize me. I really try and keep now my weekends. I used to, you know, love getting stuck into work on weekends, but I've really tried to keep my weekends now where I go into nature and I just have that sort of like reset, recharge, because then come Monday, I'm ready to start the week again. But I think that's just really, really important to, you know, identify what state you're in and also keep perspective as well. I think that's a really, really key thing that you just said then, like, this is not going to be like this forever. This is a moment in time. You know, you're not even going to have young children forever. So you also want to make sure that you're giving them the time that they want, because they're going to grow up so fast and you don't want to look back and go, God, I wish I did a bit more, or I was a bit more present with them, right? So it is a constant balancing act. And I don't really like the word balance, because I think actually that can almost make us feel more overwhelmed, like you say. So then trying to like get everything 100% right, and nothing's ever going to be in balance, right? We're always going to ebb and flow, and sometimes work's going to get busy and that means the parent life or home life or health's going to maybe slightly tip, and then it's going to go back. And it life is just a constant ebb and flow, up and down, yin and yang, you know, and it's just accepting that. But one thing that you have, I think, really sort of made clear is the importance of that whole hybrid way of working and allowing women, especially, the flexibility. How important is that, in your opinion, for companies, especially that say we want to hire more women? How important is the flexibility piece for you as a working woman with also two young children?
It's extremely, extremely important, especially the COVID has taught us a lot. Sometimes it can be challenging working hybrid because there is no full stop to your work. You're not out of office all the time. And that's where I feel, I mean, it's a blessing in disguise. So I sometimes get to do work which I usually would not be able to do, right? So I have my laptop, I carry my laptop. As I mentioned, if I'm taking my kids to some classes, even this morning I had to take my son, my younger one, he's still developing his speech, so I'm putting him into speech classes. So he was in his class, I was sitting outside working on my laptop. So I think having that sort of work and life balance and having that flexibility is extremely important. It's actually gives that courage to a woman in tech that you can work out your hours, especially if you have a young kid, if you have some elder parents who are in your care. You will be able to work yourself out if you have that sort of flexibility given, especially for the young moms as well. Let's say if you have a really newborn child. When my elder one was born, he is now 9. So when he was born, I didn't have that flexibility. And me being so tech techy, tech focused, it was hard for me to just stay away from work just and doing the giving the care to my little one. I always wanted to go rush into the office, but I didn't have that flexibility that time. So I had to wait. And that wait was actually killing me. I was going mad at home. Probably I started picking up some of the projects, some of the tech work at home in my pastime and learning a little bit. But with my younger one, when he was born, the flexibility was there. So within 6 months, I managed to get back at work. I got my satisfaction when I was working while my little one was in my care. So I think that providing, because we women tend to, it's like you, it's a by default that if you have a little one, you have to look after that kid. But at the same time, why you have to hamper your career if you want to be in next 2 years, if you have set goals in next 2 years of my career, I want to be a senior software engineer or a senior DevOps engineer, or I want to get into DevSecOps. But now you have a child, right? And that child will be in your care for 1 year. That means your career has to move a little bit forward, right? You can't achieve in 2 years. But having that flexibility actually gives women that, you know, while you are parenting, while you're looking after your, while you're nurturing, which is your first responsibility anyway, you have to, you can actually continue working and get into work if you want to. So having that flexibility is extremely important. And also working out, now my kids are a little okay, so I can go to office. There's a hybrid work culture. I go and meet my team face-to-face once or twice a week. And rest of the days we work from home. And it's not actually just for the women, I would say. I think it's for men as well. So there are some single dads, and probably some where fathers having multiple kids. It's good for them as well, having that flexibility.
It's just so important. And, you know, I'm working with a lot of companies right now that really want to improve their diversity, get more women into technology. And the first thing I say is, well, what's your work policy? Is it hybrid? Because that is the biggest thing that I see is so important for women, especially. And like you said, of course, men, but just obviously focusing here on women, because a lot of the clients are saying to me, we want more women. And I'm saying, well, if you're saying you want everyone back in the office 5 days a week, then that's a big no-go for if you really are prioritizing diversity. So it's just really interesting speaking to you and hearing it firsthand, like what your days and weeks look like and how important it is for you to have that balance and flexibility. So I really hope if companies are sort of listening to this, like they go, okay, that's why we do it. And it's very, very important to keep that. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. Look, I'd love to sort of dive into now, Neha, like you're obviously managing a team. And you are very technical, of course, which is fantastic. But what are some of like more of, I guess, the softer skills that maybe you've even had to work on as you stepped up to lead a team? And how do you sort of go about constantly keeping your team engaged and motivated and, you know, sort of, I guess, on target for what the goals of the company are? So could you sort of give us a bit of an insight into some of like your, I guess, experience stepping up into that sort of leadership and management role?
Yeah, sure. So I think the self-preparation as a leader is extremely important. So you can't just always rely on somebody else preparing or probably giving you the work, especially in the DevOps space. We need to treat platforms as a product. So not just DevOps as a service to different teams. So when you start treating that you are actually working on a product, right, platforms as a product, that's where you would start to create your own projects, right? So being a DevOps, DevOps is just a mindset. It's not, platforms engineering is a team. DevOps is mostly a, mindset. But yeah, in some companies, there are DevOps teams and there are SRE teams. But at the end of the day, everything is a platforms, right? Everything constitutes as a platforms. So when I look into platforms, platforms is very back-end. So when you look at from the product side, where your company goals, features, new improvements, all those things that comes, DevOps or platforms is very back-end. So you can't really have that straight impact. Then how will you probably work it out? What do you want to do? So that's where I think from having from the platforms engineering, what sort of product that you can create for your team, for yourself, and how you can make the platform engineering or the platforms, your company's platform solid. So for example, there are multiple tool sets, right? So if you can create a CI/CD pipeline in AWS, you can create your CI/CD pipeline using Bamboo, TeamCity, Jenkins, there's so many tools. Which one is best for you, right? So you need to have that sort of conversation within the tech group where you will choose what technology you want to work or which tool you want to pick up, which tool is sort of correct for your platforms team and for your company, right? Then that would become a product. So for me, this is how I work it out. So I prepare myself upfront. I look at what sort of tools that we have already in our hand. Then I try and probably create the one which basically is the best, and that becomes a project for us. Then taking that as a project, that's when we go in a PI planning, a quarterly PI planning. When I joined the company, we were not part, the platform engineering was not a part of the PI planning at all. It was just the product, just the dev teams and test team. And that's where all the dependencies from them would fall on us. We are sitting horizontally, they are sitting vertically. You create a CI/CD pipeline, you create a CloudFormation template, you create this and that. And I was like, oh, we are just doing the BAU. We are not doing the work that we want to do as a platform engineers, right? So that's where I was like, okay, no, we have to stop. We need to create our own projects. We started coming up with our projects. We started taking part in the PI planning. Every quarter PI planning, now we have our full-on presence where we plan our projects. We put on what are the projects that we want to do in the PI planning. And that's where now product, a business, all the dev teams, test team, everybody in the company, they have clear visibility on what's going on in the platform space. So as a leader, it's really important for you to first understand where do you want to go? What do you want to achieve? Prepare yourself, get the buy-in from all the stakeholders. And if I say stakeholders for platforms, the stakeholders would be our developers, the testers, get the buy-in, get them on board with the journey and get the product out. And then you can show the value of the platform engineering.
Okay, that's really interesting. Okay, so as a leader, especially with that whole communication piece with the stakeholders, like I said, the development, the testers, the product, the BAs, the PMs, the rest of the team, right? So that there's a huge amount of responsibility on your shoulders. So what interested you to move into that space? Because you come from a very software engineering background, then you move into testing, like you said. What was it about the DevOps space, especially, that interested you? And why, as a female, do you think it's such a great career choice? Because like I said at the beginning, there's a real lack of women in that DevOps cloud infrastructure space. Do you need to be really technical? Do you need to have a very mathematical brain, in your personal opinion, to excel in this space? Or could you work your way up from a software engineer or even a BA? Like, what are the sort of like the directions that you could come into the DevOps space from?
So for me, the main direction was cloud. So I was really interested in cloud. Aristocrat was all on-prem. I wanted, and I had done Linux, I had done Windows. What next? What I could do next? So for me, cloud was a main thing I wanted to look at. So I got the opportunity. Everything was in AWS. Now in HubSpot, there's some GCP. So it's not really where you're coming from, I think where you want to go, where your interest lies. And that's where you can start learning. Right now, even though I try and be more technical, but some days can't be technical, I need to plan the project. So you need to know the project management skills, Esmond. You need to have that communication. You need to have that skills. You know, probably BA or the Scrum Masters or probably project managers would have better than me. I'm stepping into their space sometimes here and there where I prepare myself. I have my documentation ready. I have my story points for against each task. So even for me to get into that, I know that I'm coming from on-prem into AWS. And when I look into AWS, I was learning AWS. But at the same time, when I look at the, as I was saying, that platforms was not a part of the PI planning, right? So product planning, it was not even part of that. So that's where I thought that, okay, I probably need to develop myself into a Scrum Master or a project manager role. So I did my Scrum Master course as well, just to get myself clear of the topics, how I can run my team better as a sprint, as a Scrum team, as a in an agile model. So I did that part as well. So anyone, I think, coming from any different space, you need to probably can create your own way. Let's say if you are not very technical, you can also rely on the people that you are having in your team. So in my team, having a good mixed bag of people. So I have a an architect, DevOps architect. So I rely on that person a lot for anything which is solution oriented, how you can architect an application or a new microservices probably which is going out, how you can have everything, balances, checks and balances in place. So having a good team members picked up is can be really handy as well in your journey. No matter where you're coming from, if you're coming from software managed, from the software or from testing, from BA, from Scrum Master, you can rely on your team. You can build your own expertise and you can be part of DevOps. Yeah, if that's where your interest is.
So it's all about having a good team around you and also just knowing where, because I think everyone's got like their real skill set. They've got that one thing they really excel at. And then it's all about complementing that with the rest of the team. And that's sort of ultimately what a business is. It's a group of people coming together with shared interests, with shared, you know, thought, or different, hopefully diverse thoughts and opinions and creating something out of that. So on that note, because obviously there's a lot of conversation at the moment around, you know, building culture, building great teams. Like, what do you think makes up a really good technology team? Like, what sort of like different sort of personality characteristics? You know, what sort of like what have you noticed in your team at the moment that really sort of helps to create a thriving team and a great culture?
If you are coming into platforms engineering or into DevOps space, having good communication skills, having DevOps mindset, your principles clear, an attitude where you can just not doing work in silos. DevOps platforms, you can't work in silos. It's hard. So how you can helping that helping mentality, how you help, how you can navigate to the problem, troubleshooting skills. All those things I look for when I interview any individual. So it could be, so when I'm saying that, you know, good communication skills, troubleshooting skills, DevOps mindset, that those are the main fundamentals which should be there, even if you're looking for an associate or a senior DevOps or an architect. So you need to have, this is a basic. Then you need, when you construct a team, when I joined class, there were just two or three of us. And that's where I was like, okay, we need to have a DBA expertise because there's hundreds of databases, but we in my team, there was no DBA. So that responsibility was falling between us, but we are not database administrators. So it was an extra overhead. So, and I was like, okay, we created a business case. We got a DBA. Now he's doing excellent and he wants to learn DevOps as well. So it's like a DevOps plus DBA sort of guy. So not to have that. So another thing, it could be the networking. So having the networking skills, because again, in DevOps space, you got a DBA, but there are so many network connections. There are different accounts, how you set up the connectivity between your microservices to your monolith application, or, you know, how you can segregate your different accounts from each other. So having that networking knowledge, if you can't create one out of your team members, I always go and create a business case and hire a new individual in my team. But let's say if I have a person in my team who is excellent in doing the network, that's where you can then expand the career paths within your DevOps space. So I have created a career ladder. So again, as a leader, you need to be really, really clear what you want to do, right? So I created a career ladder in my DevOps space. I want to have a DevSecOps. I need to have a DBA. I need to have a network engineer. I need to have a senior DevOps engineer, associate DevOps engineer, and all those things. So you lay it out, and then you create sort of requirements. What do you expect from that person, right? And now you have a team, which you now can fill in the people, right? So try and fill in them. And then that's how you can also create a career pathways within your team. So for example, if I have an associate DevOps engineer in my team, and if he or she wants to be a DevSecOps engineer, then you can just follow the requirement, work it out, and create a career pathway for that person. But if it's more interested in DBA, then you create a career pathway for that. So I think having that a liquidify or a fluidity within your team is extremely important, where, you know, you are, again, DevOps. Main thing is having that mindset clear, and then you can have a different sort of expertise, different levels as well, having some juniors, some seniors, where senior, if you build up a team just with seniors, then it becomes hard because seniors, what level they want to go next, right? And everybody would start competing. Having different levels within your team, having, again, mixed bag where you have some females, some males is extremely important.
What I really like about that is that it's really clear and visible for everyone, because that way you sort of you eliminate bias, because you go, this is what you need to do in order to progress. This is what you need to do to go and get that role. This is what you need to do this. And everyone's clear. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone's got equal opportunities that way.
Yeah.
Whereas what I see happen in organizations is there's an opportunity that comes up and it's just sort of given to the person that's more visible, or the person that stays back late, or the person that, you know, whatever. But this way, it's very outcome driven. It's like, if you do this, you do this, you do this, this will happen. That's really clear and visible. So I think that's a really, really good takeaway for people listening to this, is like mapping out like you've done of like, what is next? Like, these are the steps to get you to here. And like you said at the beginning, you had the importance of this person knowing their own career plans, what they want to achieve. And then it's up to the leadership team to really help, I guess, make that happen and sort of make it very clear of, these are the steps that you need to take. These are the skills that you need to, you know, develop in order to get to where you want to get to. And if everybody had that visibility, and if it was clear in every single organization, I think we'd have a lot more happy employees and a happier culture, because everybody was progressing and feeling like they were developing at the rate that they wanted to. So I think that's really, really good advice. I really like how you've done that. But just sort of like final question, sort of tying it all in, like, you know, because we did speak a lot about at the beginning, you know, there is a lack of diversity within the tech field. Like, only in Australia, 31% of the technology industry is female. And what really, I guess, sort of concerns me about that is the rate that technology is evolving. The amount of jobs, it's like 3.5 million jobs that are going to be obsolete over the next 10 years, but 1.2 million, probably even more now, are going to be created in the next five in tech alone. So why do you think technology, in your opinion, is such a great career choice for females? And what do you think we can do as a society, in businesses, to encourage more women and young girls to enter this incredible career?
Why it's a great career choice for a woman? Because I think having the flexibility is it's basically gives you a ground where you can do the things you want to do. If you have any responsibility, you can take care of that responsibility and also do the work. Another good part about technology is for women is like, not everything needs to be done hard way, right? You can sit back, relax. You can do things on your computer. Not every time you need to burn yourself in the heat or probably walk around. And I think it's really important to, if you're a woman, if you're a girl, especially as compared to men, right? As compared to men, you can't really challenge that we could do hand in hand or can do the same, similar amount of, you know, work that the men is doing. I think technology is extremely, I would say it's a very safe space where you can just work it out within your thoughts, sitting back inside your home and just, you know, challenge yourself within your mind and get a good money as well, right? So technology is that way is really great, that it gives you good amount of money. It also doesn't push you push, especially for the woman, doesn't push your boundary to an extent where you are physically, literally challenged. So you can just, there's no harm. So that's where I think you can just reading about technology, learning new set of parameters which are available. I think you can just get into the technology space easily as compared to the other other set of work environments. So technology, I would say, is easy to get into for women. And for women, I think listening over there, I think the another thing I would say is not to have, I think it's a men's world. Even if I go in meetings, it's hard to find a woman in there. Not to feel that, you know, you need to have extra just to, you know, show that you could do extra in front of them. I think it's really important having that self-confidence within you that if you have learned, you have also, you got 15 years of experience, you have done engineering, that means you are equivalent to the other person, other 15 person who are sitting within the same meeting, right? So having that self-confidence within yourself, not to think that just because you are a woman, you need to hold yourself back, not to present your ideas or things like that. I think when you start thinking yourself as a different person, that's where it becomes hard. But if you think yourself as a part of the group, you are equal to them, that's where you can probably, you know, just go along like a normal, normal team member within your team.
That's really interesting, actually. I just want to quickly touch upon that before we wrap up the podcast, because one thing that I will say, speaking to you the other day on the phone, speaking to you now, you are very assertive. You are very sure of yourself. You do come across as very confident, which is such a fantastic trait. And I know that so many women do struggle with that. Like you just said then, not many women would be able to go into a room of 15 men and use their voice. But it's so important that they do, because we need a voice. We need to sit at the seat at the table. We need to be seen, visible, and heard. So how have you developed that confidence? Have you always been quite a confident person? Have you always like had your voice? Or has that just come with experience and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone? But how have you gone about building up that confidence?
No, I was actually totally opposite person to what I am right now. I was extremely shy as a person. I literally pushed my boundaries. And that's where I'm saying that not to be afraid, try and push yourself. I think being comfortable, if you get into a comfortable zone, that's where you will start, you know, challenging. So you will stop challenging yourself. So not to go in a comfort zone. I think comfort zone is, I feel it brings end to certain things, where if you are in a technology world, technology is a thing which is constantly evolving, constantly growing. So you have to be on top of everything, right? And again, if you're constantly learning, if you're constantly, you know, trying different things for yourself, just give it a go. It might not work first time or second time. I remember when I did my first presentation, I was a university topper, right? So I topped the university, but still a very shy girl. And I was put in a podium where I had to address a group of 74 students in a room. I prepared for 1 hour presentation on exception handling, but my presentation, when I walked up on the podium, it got over within 10 minutes. Now what to do? How to entertain a crowd of 74? Just 50 minutes more to go, right? That's where it was difficult, but yeah, you have to keep learning, keep evolving. Probably next time I went prepare, I did more preparation, that it should not end within 10 minutes, probably go a little bit more and more and more. So that's where you not to stop yourself experimenting, and also stop judging, not to judge yourself as well that, okay, I did this bad. I don't think I could do it next time better. I think that's another bad mental state. It's okay. There are always good days. There are always bad days. So if you keep holding on to some bad things, that's where you won't even go and explore the new things, the new exciting things. So go with the flow, keep taking up challenges, even if small, some bigger, but failures are part of it, but always learn from the failures and never stop learning. So that's what I would like to say.
Really, really well said. I think that whole, and I think I read this the other day, like failures, you only fail when you stop. So if you don't stop learning, if you don't stop progressing, you can't fail. You've just got to keep on going. And like you just said then, like, have the trust and the belief in yourself just to put yourself out in these situations. And like you just said then, standing in front of 74 people is so nerve-wracking. But once you've done it once, you go, oh, that wasn't that bad. And then you sort of like start building the belief that I can do this. And then you've got the evidence to support what I can. But it is constantly just a process of evolving and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And that's where it sort of seems not the obvious way, but that's actually where the confidence is built, from putting yourself in those uncomfortable positions. And that's where you sort of learn a lot about yourself, right? But Beniha, look, where can I send people who want to connect with you, want to learn more about what it's like to be a woman in the DevOps space? Where can I send them? Where do you hang out the most?
LinkedIn is a good place. So anyone listening, if you want to reach out, please give me a buzz on LinkedIn. I would love to have a discussion around DevOps. If you want to have some, career guidance or some concept understanding, which tool to use, how to step into DevOps, what platform engineering is, anything which comes to your mind. So drop me a message on LinkedIn.
Amazing. We'll make sure we put the link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. Beniha, thank you so much for coming on today. You know, I really am a big believer of you can't be what you can't see. And you are a walking, talking example of what it's like to be a female in the DevOps space, in technology. So keep shining, keep using your voice, keep speaking up in those meetings full of 15 men, because we need your voice. It's so important in the industry right now. So keep doing what you're doing. And it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Georgie. It was really great to have the conversation with you.
Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for listening. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week. And we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.